Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
And so we're going to pick up now in the Bible, in this part of the story, we're going to look at our character Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.' When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God." So look up here now for me. So God, Moses is going around his day. He's on it. He's just going about his job, tending his father-in-law's flock, and all of a sudden his day has some sort of an interruption, and he sees this bush burning, and he goes over there, and this incredible exchange starts to take place. And God begins to talk with him. And now God begins to tell Moses, "I have a plan for you. I have a destiny for you. I have a job for you to do, Moses. And if you're here today, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a job to do for God." If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. The greatest decision that you could ever make is to give your heart to Jesus and to see his incredible love and for the blood of Jesus Christ, because he died on a cross for our sins and all of our inadequacies. And all we have to do is accept this free gift of salvation, and we begin this beautiful, amazing relationship with God. And then he begins to put us on a path of purpose. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to walk aimlessly in our life, but God gives us a purpose for our lives? And that's what's amazing about this. Now Moses had 40 years wandering in the desert. He was wandering around just kind of doing this thing for his father-in-law. And now God has this interruption and begins to talk to him. And in essence, he says, "Moses, I want you now to go back to Egypt where you came from." Imagine that. Moses, you have to recognize, Moses had a rap sheet, okay? Moses killed somebody. He committed murder, and he was on the run. He was like on Cairo's, top 10 most wanted list, you know? And it was like, he's like, "Lord, I can't go back there. They wanted to kill me. I committed a crime." And by the way, can I tell you something here today? That God is in the business of restoring people who have done some challenging things. Can we praise God for his redemption and his wonderful forgiveness and his love? Whether maybe you've committed murder, maybe you've committed adultery, maybe you've committed fraud, maybe you are pride and arrogant, maybe you have done something that you would say, that is unforgivable. There is no such thing as an unforgivable sin with Jesus Christ. And God, you may wander around in that condemnation for a while, but God said, "Okay, Moses, it's time." And God tells Moses, "Listen, everybody who was out after you, all of the people that wanted to kill you, they're gone. They're gone." And can I tell you right now, you may have created a mess. God is also able to clean up your mess. And God is able to be the God who restores. I love the verse that says, "The Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten." You might be here today and you might have just been serving the Lord and you're like, "Man, I'm in the second part of my life. I don't feel like I feel like I wasted so many years with the Lord." God can do more with your life in 12 months than you did in 80 years. Okay? So Moses here, most theologians believe, was around 80 years old. Okay? Moses was somewhere around 70 to 80 years old. He spent the first 40 years of his life in Pharaoh's house. He spent the second 40 years of his life wandering in the wilderness, and then finally the last 40 years of his life, he was doing the will of the Lord, okay? And so now God says, "I want you to go back to Egypt. I have a plan for you." And Moses has a list of excuses. "Lord, You want me to go back there? I don't think I can do it. So God begins to take Moses down a path and begins to do a handful of object lessons for him. So he says, Moses, what's in your hand? He says, I have a staff. He said, take your staff and throw it on the ground. So Moses takes his staff, he throws it on the ground, and it turns into a snake. By the way, this is biblically, historically correct. This is not some fantasy book. The word of God is true. This happened. He threw it on the ground. It turned into a snake. Moses got afraid of it. You can imagine if you were there, he had the stick, threw it, and he ran away from the stick. It was kind of funny. Any people like snakes here? No? I probably would have ran too, so let's not judge Moses. Okay, so God says, Moses, pick up the snake. So he takes the tail of the snake, and it turns back into his staff. God says, Moses, take your hand and stick it inside your cloak. And he sticks it inside his cloak. He pulls it out, and he's got a skin disease. And it's white, and it's called leprosy. And God says, put it back in your cloak. He puts it back in his cloak, and it's healed. And God does these object lessons for him to kind of show Moses, Moses, I want to use you. Do you believe, Moses, that I have a plan for you? Do you believe that I could do this? And then we pick it up in the scriptures here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And then Moses says, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. Look at it. You ever had this thing where sometimes God will knock on your door and say, I need you to go talk to that family member. I need you to begin to obey me in this. And you say, Lord, it didn't work 20 years ago. I don't know if it's going to work today. God, are you sure you want me to do that? I tried that already. I wasn't any good at that. I couldn't do that. I had a couple in my office one time. They had four failed marriages between the two of them. Both had two divorces, and now they were sitting here. And they were at the place where they realized, you know what? We couldn't do it back then, and guess what? We really can't do it now. We need the Lord's help. So Moses is kind of seeing his inadequacies. He's saying, God, I couldn't do this 20 years ago, 40 years ago, and I can't do it today. I couldn't speak before, and nothing's really changed since then. Verse 11 says, then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. And Moses, with his great answer, says, my Lord. You ever said that? My Lord. Please send someone else. And all God's people said. I'm a joke. Just kidding. Don't go. But we've all been there. One of the greatest men of God in history. The Bible says there is none more humbler than Moses. Moses looked upon the face of God. And he had the struggle. It says, God, I can't do it. Lord, I'm not able to do it. It's too much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the word of life. We thank you that your word, even though written thousands of years ago, is alive, Lord, that it's living and it is able to transform our lives even today. And Holy Spirit, we since you're here with us today, we pray that you would take your word and may it go deep into our hearts and into our lives. And Jesus, you know every story that's represented here. You know every family, every household. God, thank you for our visitors, our first-time guests who are here with us today, all the way to those who have been serving you for decades. Father, we pray now that you would speak to us in only the way that you can, that you would illuminate the word, and that you would show us what it is that you would want us to be and what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So real quick, what I want to do is since God gave Moses two object lessons, but I want to talk about a third object lesson real quickly. Now, object lessons, if you're a teacher, by the way, showing of hands, any teachers here in the audience, let's give a hand up for all of our teachers. Very difficult job. We love you. We're thankful for you because, you know, being a teacher is a very, very difficult thing, especially if you have kids for hours and hours on end, and trying to get their attention is always one of the hardest things to do. So God was trying to get Moses' attention, so he used an object lesson. One time when I was teaching the children years ago, I did an object lesson on the Holy Spirit because I was talking about how the Holy Spirit gives you power that you don't have. So I had a table in front of me, and I took out this little hatchet, little tiny axe, and I had a piece of like a 2x4, and I started hacking at the wood, you know. And I was like, you see, this sometimes if we don't ask God Himself, God the Holy Spirit, to help us, our lives trying to do God's will, it's like hacking a piece of wood. And you're going to spend all day, and then I had it prepped. I had planned this out, and don't worry, parents, it was very safe, okay? So then I had a chainsaw behind, you know, so then I took out chainsaw, table saw, something sharp that plugged in the wall. I don't remember what it was. I pulled it out, and I went, and this is what life's like with the Holy Spirit. And I cut that thing up, you know, and just like, that's the chainsaw pastor, you know? It's like, they didn't know what was going on. And you know what? That lesson just stuck in their mind. It was like, well, I don't want to have to hit something 1,000 times. I want one cut, and God's going to help me to do it. So it's this object lesson, right? And so God is the master teacher of object lessons. Jesus did this all throughout the New Testament. He used parables, used illustrations, used the dirt, used people, used all sorts of examples, used buildings. He was always looking in his environment and using it as a way to teach, as a way to teach. And so in this story, the first object lesson that God does is he takes a bush and he puts himself inside the bush and he starts burning the bush. And it's amazing because this is the way that the Lord grabbed Moses' attention. Remember, God doesn't waste one letter, verse, or principle in his word. If it's in the Bible, we should pay attention to it. Amen? So sometimes you can read a story 100 times and be like, oh yeah, there was a bush that wasn't burning. Cool, what's next? You know. But sometimes we need to stop and say, wait a minute. Lord, why did you use a bush? Why didn't you just talk to him like you talked to Abraham? Because you just came and talked to Abraham. Why didn't you talk to him the way you talked to Jacob? Isaac, why didn't you talk to him the way you talked to Jacob? Why didn't you talk to him the way you talked to all these other people? Why did you have to use a bush? God, why the object lesson? Why go to all of that effort to teach, and when you could have just talked to him audibly like you've done so many other times? And I believe that the same reason the Lord used that as an object lesson about 3,500 years ago is the same reason why he wants us to understand it today. So now, when you look at that text and you say God spoke to him out of a bush, I've got a couple pictures here. You might think that it looks something like this. It's the first, that's the kind of bush that God was speaking of. Really nicely manicured. Any horticultural specialists in here, maybe? Gardeners, anyone like gardening? Don't be ashamed. Gardening's great. 3 people. No wonder the city looks like craziness. Okay. You know, you know, so you've got this bush and it's beautiful. Like that's gotta be the bush. If God was gonna talk to somebody through a bush, surely it would be something like this that you're gonna see in Menards or something. Okay, well maybe that's what you have in your mind, okay? Which, by the way, what comes to your mind when you read the Bible is very important, because you can start drawing conclusions upon what you think about what the Bible says. Very important. So the next, maybe you said something like that. That's the bushes. That's the kind of bush. It was a nice floral arrangement. There was some nice pink blossoms. You know, the sisters are thinking, you know, the bush probably had some lilacs on it. It smelled beautiful. Something had to draw Moses to that bush. It was beautiful, just full of greenery. And then some of you might think the bush looked like this in your mind. You're just thinking, this is what a bush looked like. Must have been some kind of crazy thing if it's going to get Moses' attention. That bush had to be something special. And you're like, well, okay, this is what the bush is like. But I think, quite actually, I think the bush, not to scale, by the way, but I think the bush probably, the way that God spoke to Moses, was something more like this. Now you say, where'd you get that ugly thing from? I cut it out of my front yard, okay? Don't judge me, all right? Because this is a very ordinary bush. It's extremely ordinary. We walk through bushes every day. You walk by them here in Chicago. Moses, when he was shepherding his flock, he would walk by bushes all the time. They was just part of the vegetation. It was part of the environment. It was out there. And he would walk by it every day. For 40 years, he walked by it. You ever been in the city where you drive by the same place every day, and all of a sudden you're like, how long has that been there? That's been there for 25 years. Oh, I never saw that before, you know? And the same thing, it's imagine this bush. Why? It's just super ordinary. Something like this. It's not fancy. It needs a little bit of water. Probably going to go in the trash after this today. But the fact is, it's a super simple and a super ordinary bush. And here's what I want us to do today. I want us to look at this story, not through the lens of Moses. I want us to look at this Bible story through the lens of the bush. I want you and I to imagine for a little bit that we are like this bush. That we, in our minds, can see ourselves in the story like being an ordinary bush. Because God was trying to communicate something incredibly important to Moses. He chose to speak to Moses through a bush. God chose the most ordinary, simple, non-flashy thing in the environment to have this incredible exchange with Moses. Just like you would see a bush like this, say, this is very normal and this is very simple. Why would this grab Moses' attention? Why would this grab a man who was backslidden for 40 years? And here's what I want us to talk about today, that God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things. God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things. The fact that God chose a very ordinary, normal part of vegetation, an ordinary bush. I mean, it's like, Lord, why don't you use like a tree or something grander than a bush? Do you recognize the irony of Moses saying to God, God, I can't, when it's like, hello, Moses, God is talking to you through a bush. A bush is the most ordinary thing that there is. If the creator of the universe could descend upon a bush and speak through a bush, don't you think he could speak through one of his children? If the God of the universe could come with the fire of his presence upon a simple bush, don't you think that he could use our lives for his glory? If God himself is able to do this incredible thing, Moses, don't tell me that you can't do it. So this lesson that God did this incredible work, an incredible exchange through Moses, through a bush, I believe was because in the same principle God was trying to get through to Moses then is the same thing that he wants to speak to us today, is that he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God is not in the business of looking for heroes and superstars. The kingdom of God is not built upon heroes and incredible gifted people. Praise God for gifting. Praise God for education. Praise God for resources and all that. That's not bad, but God, that's not what God looks for when he says, who am I going to choose to turn a whole nation around? Do you recognize a whole nation was brought out of bondage and the starting point was God talking to a man out of a bush? Incredible things happen when God gets a hold of the ordinary. The ordinary. So what I want to do, real briefly, is I want to look at the passage here and say, what happens when we, as ordinary people, seeing ourselves like the bush, like Moses, like ordinary people, what happens when we surrender and believe to God to use our ordinary lives in extraordinary ways? Well, the first thing I want to do is we jump into three quick points, and then we're going to pray, is this, is that God uses us to facilitate divine interruptions. God uses us to facilitate divine interruptions. Look at the scripture here as it says this. It says, Moses was keeping his flock with his father in the priest's meeting. He led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, the mountain of God, going about his day. And then God, the angel of the Lord, was God himself kind of coming down in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning. Someone said, why don't you burn it on fire? I'm like, I'm not going to burn the church down, okay? We're not going to do that. Object lesson stops here. All right. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And so here's what happened. Moses said, I will turn aside. Let's say those four words together. 1, 2, 3. I will turn aside. So follow with me here for a second. One of the things that God does with our ordinary lives is he allows us to facilitate divine interruptions. So Moses was walking and he saw a bush burning and he was on a path of his day. He had his agenda. He had what he was doing. It wasn't even on his radar screen. And something over here caught his attention. And it caught his attention so much so that it drew him off of his path over to see what it is. I believe, and I think believe that the Bible teaches us that as Christians, our lives should be so marked by God himself that men and women and youth and children who are in their normal lives are able to turn aside and say, what is that over there? Who is that person in office on the third floor in the cubicle in the corner? Every time I walk by them, They always are smiling about something. What is it? Every time I go over to my neighbor's house, there's some positive energy over there, you know. What is it about that person that I see on the bus every single day? They're reading that book, and I see their eyes close, and I see tears coming down their eyes. Why? How could someone cry every day when they read a book? You know. And what is it about that teenager in that high school who something's different about? I need to hit the pause button for today. I want to go over there and see what's going on. God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things, and the first thing that He does is our lives as just ordinary people who are set afuse by God, who are used by God, can make people turn off of their path. Brothers and sisters, people are on a path to hell and destruction. So many people are on a pathway of death and darkness and despair. They might think they're on a path to success. They might think they're on a path to riches and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But without Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to the Father must come through me. If they're not on the pathway with Jesus Christ, they are on a pathway to an eternity away from God, because sin puts them on that pathway. And when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, God Himself comes to live in our lives. And one of our responsibilities and divine callings is to be able to have our lives so full of God and so used by God that men and women who are on a path, they will turn aside. Do you know that in your workplace, there are probably people who God has appointed to salvation that all you need to do is really shine brightly, and they're going to turn and say, hey, come tell me about this Jesus that you're serving. We're going to talk about preaching and teaching later, but the first, God could have just said, Moses. He didn't do that. I believe because He wanted to do an object lesson that says, listen, I want you to burn with the fire of my presence. I want you to burn with my love. I want you to burn with joy. I want you to burn with peace so much that people must turn aside and say, what is the deal with you? I want to tell you a quick story of one of our brothers in this church. He serves in one of our ministries. His name's Tracy, just a great guy. I love Tracy. Tracy in the meeting here? He's probably out serving the park. Yeah. He's serving first service. Tracy loves the Lord, him and his wife, Nicomas. And Tracy is worked in a you can call a slightly hostile working environment. He said, my employer, one of my managers, they're the epitome of when you would think of the type of boss that nobody wants. Don't show anyone, well, your boss might be in the room, probably not. But the point is, you know, you ever had a job where your boss was about as mean as you think they could get? You're like, do they have it out for me? It's like, did I have a t-shirt that says, make my life miserable, okay? Why do they seem to do that? Tracy had a job like that this boss, and it wasn't just him, it was everybody. The employer was so mean, so nasty, so just flat out volatile, okay? But by the way, a little pause. Typically when people are like that, it's because they're incredibly broken, okay? So anyway, what happened? So Tracy, full of God, full of the love of God, something began to happen. They'd have these exchanges, and Tracy wouldn't react the way everyone else would. Tracy wasn't gossiping, backbiting, complaining, screaming when this person... He was just at peace. He said, you know what? I'm going to keep my peace, God. And he was a witness and a testimony for Jesus. He was full of the love of God. His heart was full of the love of God. And so a series of events begins to go by. Tracy had his mother passed away, went to be with the Lord, had a passing. And he comes back from his bereavement time, and he comes back into work. And his boss, something happened that his boss had something going on in their life. And Tracy comes back the first day at the job, and God opens the door. He's so full of peace. And his employer comes over to him, and I quote, I have it right near here, says, how could you have so much peace? I just lost my mom, but I don't have what you have. How is it that you're never angry and you never get frustrated, but you're always polite? You know what that is? That is a life who is so full of God that someone who is on a pathway of death saw the peace on their life and turned aside and said, can you tell me what is going on here? And they said, they're praying for her. They're going to invite her to the story of love. And we are believing that Jesus is getting a hold of her life. Let's praise God. Amen. God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things. The first thing he does is he uses us to facilitate divine interruptions. By the way, some of you are so concerned about what people think about you that you might say, I don't want to make a scene. But when God shows up, God always makes a scene, okay? Now, I'm not saying that it means you got to have disorder and get on top of the table and get fired and start screaming, okay? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that when God begins to move, things might get a little uncomfortable and there might be a little bit of a scene. And that's the way it happens sometimes. But I'm telling you, God wants to have divine interruptions even this week. There are people who've been in the wilderness for years and years and years that I'm believing this week your life is going to turn and they're going to turn from. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. The second thing that happens when God uses, what has to happen when God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things is God uses us to be his, God uses us to dramatically influence our environments. God uses us to dramatically influence our environments. And in a lot of ways, this is something that happened. Look at the passage, look at the word of God here. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So wait a minute. God comes down into this very simple, ordinary object. And this simple, ordinary object, all of a sudden, so because God is upon the ordinary, so affects the environment that it becomes holy. It becomes pure. So much so, he says, you got to take your feet off, Moses. I know you're outside. You're not in a church. You're not in a temple. You're not in some place. You're in the middle of a wilderness. You're in the middle of a desolate land. But because I'm on this ordinary object, the entire environment changes. And I believe, and from the scriptures that teaches, that when God comes upon our lives and we say, yes, Lord, use me, we can literally change the entire environments where we are at. Because God sanctifies us. The Bible says in 1 Peter, do you have an unbelieving spouse in your home? That's the Bible says. And it says that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. Why is that? How can that be the case? It's because God is upon it. We had someone in the church recently, one of their unbelieving spouses had an accident. Something happened. They had a hit and run. Someone hit their car, and we were in a staff meeting, one of our department meetings, and we heard so-and-so, their husband just got hit by a vehicle, and there's about 12 of us in the room, and we looked around. We said, you know, we've been praying for that man for a long time. We've been praying that God would save him. He's been to the church every once in a while, but he hasn't totally surrendered to God yet. We began to lift up our voices to the Lord. We prayed for him. We said, God, in this situation, Lord, may he come to know you. Keep him safe, Lord, and we began to pray. Well, he ended up going to the hospital. We were going to visit him, one of our pastors was on the way, and he said, no, don't worry, I'm already got checked out, you know. And we said, praise God. And I was thinking the other day, this verse came to my mind. I said, you know what it is? There's a covering over his life. There's a sanctifying of that home. We're believing him for salvation. God's going to save him. But something in the environment has so been impacted that even in the midst of evil and danger, there was a hedge of protection around him. Let me tell you another quick story. We have one of our brothers here who works in maximum security here in the state of Illinois. He's a prison guard, and he works in maximum security. Loves the Lord, loves God deeply. His name's Angel. Many of you know him. He told me a story yesterday. God did this divine connection. It was so powerful. I was meeting a new brother who had just come to the men's breakfast yesterday, and he's been coming to the church for a couple of months. And I said, hey, how did you end up getting here? He said, man, you know, through a series of events, the Lord ended up, you know, drawing me and my family to this church. He said, I also work for the state, and I work in the prison system. And then the brother that I knew worked in the prison system was over here. I said, yo, come over here, man. You know, hey, connect the dots, you know. You guys know. He said, I know you. And then all of a sudden, the guy who's been coming for a couple months, his eyes lit up. He said, wait a minute. He said, I remember you. I was like, what do you mean, remember me? He said, last year, you were sitting outside of the maximum security area, the division, the top division. You were sitting outside there, and as you were sitting outside, you had this story of love flyer. And you were handing them out to everybody. Outside a maximum security prison. Inside the prison, outside the gate. All the prison guards, you say, hey, you need to come to my church, story of love. Come on, he's just handing them out, handing them out. He said, me and my buddy, we took them and we left. He said, I remember you. We left and we came over and the new brother was telling me, you know, I kind of been serving the Lord, but nobody really knew it, you know. And I was really kind of convicted and something was, you know, in the midst of this dark, dark place, a light was shining. And so his buddy said, man, what's that guy doing passing out flyers for his church? You know, that's crazy. And he looked at him and he said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. And the guy kind of like, he's like, we can curse. We can do all sorts of crazy shenanigans and all sorts of horrible things. Why can't people invite people to church? You know, and that began, let's praise God. Let's praise the Lord. And something was sown, a seed was sown in his spirit. And all of a sudden, through a series of events, the Lord led him to Chicago Tabernacle. And that seed, there was many seeds that were sown, but one of those seeds was sown in that incredibly dark environment, so much so that him and his whole family have now come to Chicago Tabernacle. And yesterday he said, man, I want to be a part of the story of love. Can we praise God for the cycle of fruitfulness in the kingdom? Hallelujah. Praise God. God uses us to dramatically influence our environments. The ground around the bush became holy. My life is ordinary. Your life is ordinary. We are all just ordinary people. But when we say, yes, Lord, use my life, and he comes upon us, the entire environment which we are in can be totally changed, even in a moment. Darkness cannot stand against the light. The light will always prevail against the darkness. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We bless you, God. Never. It only takes one ordinary bush to totally redirect somebody's life and change their destiny. 40 years, Moses was just wandering, wandering, wandering. Do you have people in your life that are wandering? You see them just walking in circles? God is going to help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower us. He's going to fill our hearts with love that we're going to be able to just burn so brightly for Jesus. The Bible says that our lives are like an incense to those who are hungry and longing. And I believe the Lord wants to do that in our lives. The last thing, and then we're going to pray together. The last thing that God does, how God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things, is God uses us to be his vocal representatives on the earth. God uses us to be his vocal representatives on the earth. Remember, God comes upon this ordinary bush, redirects Moses' life. Someone turns aside, sanctifies the environment, sanctifies where it's at. And then out of this very simple plant, a plant, brothers and sisters, a plant, the voice of the Lord comes out from the midst of the plant. Do you recognize how incredible that is? Now in the New Testament, when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, and you say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, and he comes and he cleanses you of your sin, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of our hearts. God himself comes to dwell inside the heart of man. And with that, coupled with the fact that God gives us his word, he gives us the written word of God, we can become the vocal representatives of God on this earth. Listen, speaking for God is not reserved for pastors and leaders and people up here. Speaking for God, God has empowered us to speak for him. Now, the Bible says, But how do we speak for God? We take the Bible and we say, the Bible says. Everyone say, the Bible says. The Bible says. It's not what I think and what I say. Don't be ashamed to say, the Bible says. We don't speak to this world on our authority. Look at this. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew chapter 28. It says this. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The commandment is, God is saying, listen, take my words and go tell the world. Speak. Speak. There comes a point that we have to open our mouths, brothers and sisters. Yes, praise God, the bush redirected Moses off of his path. Praise God, the bush sanctified the environment. But what would have happened if God never spoke? There comes a place where you can only testify and you can only witness by being there. There comes a point we have to cross the line and say, can I share with you what the Bible says? Can I share with you about God's love? Can I share with you about what God says in his word? I'm not preaching at you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I just want to share with you. The Bible's changed my life. I want to speak to you what the Bible says so that your life can also receive and be totally changed by his love. Brothers and sisters, this is why we must read our Bibles. We must read our Bibles. And listen, it's okay. I've been in the meeting like, you know, hey, you're witnessing, you're evangelizing, you're starting to talk to somebody, and you ever forget the verse? You ever done it before? Come on, be honest. I do. It happens to me. I'm like, hold on a second. Let me grab my word. And nobody looks at you like, oh, man, that guy's got to pull out his... Who doesn't matter? When you take out the word of God, you say, oh, here's what it says. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish. That God didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the word. Can I pray for you? Is there anything that you need? We've become the vocal. Everyone say vocal. Vocal representatives of God. You know, we live in a country in a democratic system, which is wonderful. I'm so thankful for our democracy and our republic that we are in. And, you know, it's a great privilege to vote for politicians and to say, hey, I want you to speak on my behalf in the government, or to be an ambassador for a country and go and speak on behalf. But there is no greater privilege and no more sacred charge than as us as Christians to be able to say, God has given me the authority and the grace to speak and to tell the world what he said. The greatest call. Last story I'm going to share, and then we're going to pray. One of our brothers here, he's usually here second, third service. Anibal here today? He's usually here second, third. He's in the choir. He's here. Anibal was telling me a story yesterday. Anibal has a real gift when it comes to this, of sharing and opening and speaking the Lord's truth to people. And one of the things that Anibal was telling me, another story. It actually happened. We were in the kitchen yesterday talking. There's a new brother to our church. His name's Ricky, and his wonderful wife Delilah and their children, and they're serving in our church. And he was saying, you don't remember that Anibal? I knew Anibal from way back. I knew Anibal when he was a trainer over at the gym, and I also knew Anibal. He was selling insurance, and Anibal came to our house one time because we invited him over. He was going to talk about some insurance policy, and he sat down and he started talking. He said, "But guess what?" He wasn't talking about insurance. He kept talking about Jesus. He kept talking about God. He kept talking about this church called Chicago Tabernacle. He's like, what are you trying to sell here, you know? What are you really selling, you know? And he wasn't offended by it, though. But Anibal started saying, something just came over me. I'm in their home, and I felt, I don't need to sell them a life insurance product. I need to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And he began to talk to them. Not wasn't weird. Wasn't like standing up and screaming at him. He was just normal. God is in his heart and is overflowing, and he's vocal and he's talking. He's being a vocal representative of the Lord. By the way, sometimes you may say, God, send somebody to my family. That someone's probably you. God doesn't speak through walls. He speaks through people. And so what happens is Anibal was saying, I just started sharing and told them about the love of God and about how God had done amazing things in my life. And this church shared the Bible. I was supposed to talk to them about life insurance. We didn't really get around to it. It was all right. I left. 4 years later goes by. Ricky and his wife and his children, they come across hard times. Something happens. He gets saved, and he begins to say, I need to find a church. The Lord met him and his family. Remember, your seed is so important. Many times when someone gets saved, it's a combination of many seeds. And so all of a sudden, he said, I was going about my day. Nothing. I didn't know where to go. And all of a sudden, the word Chicago Tabernacle popped in my mind. And I told my wife, we're going to church tomorrow. We're going to church. We're going to go worship God. We're going to serve God. We're starting to serve God. They come, and the second week, and he sees them. And he goes up to them. It's like, I think it was 7 years later. And he goes, and he gives them a huge hug. And he said, you don't understand what you did 7 years ago. And now I'm here, and God has changed my family and changed my life. Let's praise God. Doing amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes in the Lord's presence today. I love that the Lord's promise is that God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things. God wants to do the extraordinary in our life. You might feel tempted to say to the Lord, God, not me. I've got too much baggage. Lord, not me. I'm not gifted to do that. Lord, if I could tell you, remember Moses and remember the bush? God used a simple bush. He used the bush to communicate what he wanted to do. He used this bush to turn someone's direction, to create a holy environment, to be his vocal representation. If God could use an ordinary bush, surely God could use our lives. If God could speak through a piece of vegetation, surely he could speak through his created children. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. I give myself away. Just sing this to him for a moment. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Sing that again to the Lord. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. With all eyes closed here today, if you would say, I need the Lord, and I want the Lord to use my ordinary life in an extraordinary way. I just want you to lift your hand in the presence of the Lord. You see, I want God to use my life, my ordinary life, in an extraordinary way. Hands are going up all over the sanctuary, all over the sanctuary. You know what? We have about just a few minutes, and I really feel from the Lord to do something as a sign of your faith to the Lord, as a sign of surrender. The worship team is going to continue to play this, but as a sign of surrender, you might say, God, like Moses, I don't want to run away. I don't want to doubt. God, if you use the bush, you can use me. I want you to do something. I want you to slip out of your seat as a sign of surrender. We may not have enough room at the altar, but I want you to do that as an act of faith, and we're going to pray together. But you say, God, use me. God, use my life. God, use my life to redirect people. Use my life to redirect my family. God, use my life to burn and to change the environment that I'm in. Come on, worship team, lead us. But come forward and say, come with faith. Come with faith saying, God, use my life. Come with your heart and come with singing and say, God, use me. God, I believe you can use me. God, we're surrendering to you for your work, God. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing, I give myself away. I give myself. Come on, reach out to the Lord. Let this be your sign and your song of surrender. Use me, God. Use me, God.
I give myself away so you can use.
I give myself.
I give myself away.
Use us for your glory, God. Use us for your glory.
I give myself away.
We're just ordinary people, but we say yes to you, God. We say yes to you, God. We say yes. We say yes, Lord. Use us to change our workplace, our families, God. Total strangers, Lord. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. Surrender, God.
I give myself.
Do miracles. God, do miracles through our lives, we pray.
My life is not my own. To you.
Do the supernatural, oh God. Turn hearts. Turn families, Lord. Take the hand of the person next to you here in the at the altar and all over the sanctuary. Take the hand of the person next to you. And here's what I want you to pray. God, use my brother. Use my sister. Do the extraordinary thing through their ordinary life. Begin to pray. Pray for them. Say, God, put faith in their heart. Remove all doubt that you want to use their life. Remove all doubt, oh God. God, would you use our ordinary lives to do extraordinary things, oh God? May the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray for them. Maybe God is going to have you pray for their family. Maybe God is going to put something on your heart to pray for your neighbor. Say, God, do the extraordinary in our lives. Change environments. Change workplaces. Change homes. Sanctify families, oh God. Make us your verbal and vocal representatives. Put boldness and courage to speak your word, oh God. Take our ordinary lives, Father, and we pray that you would so glorify yourself through us, Lord. Lord, as you came upon that bush, we pray for the burning power of the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives. Lord, it's not us, God. Lord, it's not in us. It's not something that we have. But God, we thank you that you dwell within us. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would do something extraordinary through our ordinary lives, oh Lord. Lord, that our family members, that men and women, that they wouldn't see us, but that they would see the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray that they would turn from their path, God. And Lord, when they turn, we pray that they would see peace. We pray that they would see love and they would see joy. We pray that they would see the very presence of Jesus Christ. And Father, when the moment comes, we pray that you would put your words in our mouths, oh God. We pray that the word of God would be upon our lips, that you would give us the courage and the strength, oh God, to say the Bible says, and that we would be able to speak your word to many, Father. God, we're doing this because we know that you truly do want to use our lives for your glory, God. So we love you tonight, today. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you, God. Let's sing one last time. My life is not my own. Lift your hands to him. To you is our closing surrender to him. I give myself, I give myself. One last time. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this wonderful time in your presence. And God, we thank you for the object lesson that you've put in front of us. God, if you could use an ordinary bush to redirect a whole nation, if you can use an ordinary bush to speak through, surely you can use our lives for your glory, God. So I thank you for fresh faith filling my brothers and sisters' hearts. God, I pray as they go from this place, would you bless them with your presence? Throughout this week, God, I pray for a deep assurance of faith, knowing that you are with them and that you are leading them. God, I pray that you would deliver them from all evil. God, I pray that this would be a week that they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we honor you and we thank you. Send us now with your great peace in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together and praise God. He's going to use us. He's going to use us. He's going to use us for his glory.